Next week we have a visiting minister from Pakistan, evangelist Niam Nasi, and he has a great heart for the Muslims, and he's over in this country just for a couple of weeks, and through Jolly we've been asked if we would have him on next Sunday afternoon, so I said yeah, we would. So this great healing evangelist, his massive crusades, if you look on his website, etc., and he's coming here, and there's just a few of us. Send the word out. You'll find him on Facebook. You'll find it on my Facebook. I've sent you all a message on Facebook. Yeah. Just follow the link. Yeah. All right. Follow the link and you'll find your way.
Yes.
We started on Wednesday on the subject of worship. Worship starts with you. Worship starts with you and your attitude.
Yeah.
And if you sit this side and watch when we're worshipping or praising, sometimes the attitude's not very good. If I'm honest, it can be quite disheartening. I'll be serious about this. There are other people falling asleep, looking at something else, looking elsewhere, not focusing in on God. Something else is on the mind. You know, we spend time, we prepare a word, we spend time, we come, and then people are falling asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's not.
I look at it and say to myself, what am I doing here? I look at it and say, is my calling over? Is this not what I should be doing? I ask myself that question. Maybe I should be somewhere else. Maybe I should be doing something else.
No.
Maybe my calling is somewhere else, and you know, I've got stuck in a rut or a grave. Because that's where it leads to. My problem is, you see, I can look back too many years. And I know Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt for looking back. But I can look back many years and I can see, I saw the hand of God moving.
Amen.
I saw the presence of God coming and felt the presence of God coming.
Amen.
But at the moment, I honestly don't know where it is. Do you? I'm asking a serious question. Of every one of us, do we know where the presence of God is? Is he on the wall?
In our
house. Is he in the ceiling?
In our
house. Is he on something that we're looking at? You know, we're so concerned about something else when we're singing. We're not singing to God, we're just going through a cycle. If we want God, we've got to be desperate.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
If have you ever wanted something in your life?
Yeah.
I remember when Ken wanted Pauline as his wife and his girlfriend.
Amen.
He was desperate for her. He came to talk to me about her. I remember Grace. Turn your mobile phones off. Somebody has. I remember when I was praying for a wife. Grace came on the scene. I remember that she made a decision that she was going nursing and didn't want a boyfriend no matter what. And I turned up.
Oh, I meant about...
God had to move. God had to change her mind. Because I was praying.
Oh,
if you wanted something so desperate, you'll work for it, you'll go for it, you'll go for it, you'll give it your everything.
Yeah, you will. Yeah.
Rebecca, working at university, she's trying to give it everything.
Yeah.
But don't let sight of Jesus,
amen,
don't let sight of the Word of God become clouded by other things.
Yeah.
Those of you that went to university and got degrees, where's your passion for God?
Amen.
Where's the desire to worship Him? I'm comfortable, I'm all right. I don't need anything. That's the Western world today.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us to seek Him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
You and I need to realize it. If we are to get into the presence of God, and I say we, plural, meaning
yeah,
all of us together,
yeah,
then we all need to be doing this together.
Yeah.
If you don't come.
Yeah.
I'll whittle the church down even more.
Yeah.
I know we've mentioned pray for people. Do you know why people get into such a mess?
Yeah.
Because they took their eyes off Jesus.
Yeah.
They lost their relationship with their protector.
Yeah.
They lost their relationship with the one who loves them,
yeah,
far beyond anything else.
Yeah.
They came from underneath His covering. They came from underneath His protection.
Yeah.
When you realise how much God wants to protect you, how
yeah,
much God wants you in to embrace you, and yet we stand back.
No.
We build a wall and say, don't touch, I'm not emotional.
I'm not doing that.
I'm not emotional because I've been hurt in the past.
Rubbish.
So I've turned off all my emotions.
Rubbish.
I've been hurt.
Rubbish.
I've had God.
Yeah, he killed.
That's
God.
The truth.
Yeah.
Everybody that's been hurt has been hurt because they haven't had God. Because they took their eyes off God in many cases as well. We need to focus.
Yeah.
We need to
yeah,
have a passion for this.
Yeah.
When you have something that you want to do and do it with all of your might, you
yeah,
focus on it.
Yeah.
Nothing gets in the way.
No.
Nothing stands in the way.
No.
You know that phrase, that saying, I'll do it, come hell or high water.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
It's focusing and having that determination and saying nothing's going to get in the way, Edwin. I'm coming through.
Yeah. Amen.
So, coming through. Amen.
Amen.
Praise has been such an easy thing to do because people just make a noise and they can get lost in the noise of praise.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can get into a big church and you can sit there and let everybody else do it. You can stand around and maybe look as if you're praising.
Yeah.
But you're not. You're not even entered in.
No.
It's more difficult here.
Yeah.
We don't have crowds to hide in.
No.
You come and show what you are.
Yeah.
And sometimes even our praise isn't worth having to God. You know, we're talking about a Saviour,
yeah,
who has died for my sicknesses, for your sickness, for your diseases, has died for your sin, has taken your punishment on the cross, suffered the agonies, been beaten and bruised and marred beyond all recognition. Took your punishment for your sins. You should have been on that cross. You should have been whipped to an inch of your life.
Should have been. Yes.
And yet we don't have the ability to praise him and to give him thanks. We don't have the ability to worship him. Because that's what he took. He took my punishment. He took your punishment. He's worthy of adoration. He's worthy of praise. Because there by the grace of God.
Amen. Go I. Yeah.
People say, well, you don't know my history. No, but God does. Mm-hmm. Have a talk to him about it.
Amen.
See what he's got to say about it.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've gone through. But I've gone through it.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's in the past.
It's history.
Forgetting
those things which are behind. I press forward.
Thank you, Lord.
Press forward.
Yes.
To the mark of the high.
Are you going to press forward?
I am.
Are you just going to sit there and wallow?
I'm going to press forward.
No, press forward to the prize.
If we want to see God, we have to come and prepare ourselves with an attitude of worship.
Yeah.
True worship in spirit. And in truth, not a mental ascent, because that will never see God.
No.
By the Spirit, we will see the manifestation of God.
Yeah.
The dictionary definition for praise is simply this: express approval, express admiration, pay tribute, speak highly. That's praise. Sing praises, rave about, go into raptures about, heap praise on someone, wax lyrical about them, say nice things, make much of a person, a pat on the back, take off the hat, throw bouquets. That's praise. Worship. The definition. The feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity.
Amen.
Reverence, revering, worshipping, adoring, devotion, praise, thanksgiving, praying, glorifying, exalting, extolling, respect, honour, honouring, esteem.
Homage to God.
Yeah.
See, worship is totally different to praise.
Yeah.
An expression of reverence and adoration.
Yeah.
What has God saved you from? What has Jesus delivered you from? I think you need to ask yourself that question. I think you need to ask it through the week. What has God delivered me from?
Yeah.
Go and have a walk round town on an evening.
Yeah.
Go and have a walk round a hospital.
Yeah.
On the streets you see awful things. There's no God there.
No.
They don't want God.
No.
It's getting to a point where that is creeping into the church. They don't want God in the church. They just want to come, have a short, happy, clappy time. 20 minutes of preaching, yeah. You know. And that's it, finished and gone. We've done our bit. And we wonder why the nation is like it is.
Yeah, it's radical.
Because we've lost the glory of God. This nation, we would at one time, was said to be a glorious nation.
Yeah.
Why were we a glorious nation? Because we upheld the principles of the Word of God and we Amen. Put Jesus first.
Yeah, we did.
We put God in the centre of our nation.
Yeah.
Now we're trying to remove him. And our praise is not enough.
No.
We need to begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
For who he is and for what he's done for us.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see, praise will begin to change the atmosphere around you. Praise is used much for warfare.
Yeah.
And rejoicing in God, and it will change the atmosphere. Well, yeah, start to praise. Start to change the atmosphere. But once you've changed the atmosphere, you've allowed God in. Move in with God. Move into the presence of God. Move into the majesty of God. I don't know if any of you read Revelation. Like I asked you on Wednesday. Have a look at Revelation and see the throne room. See, praise, when you begin to praise, praise will change the atmosphere. It will change the atmosphere in the church. It will stop people from criticizing. It will stop people from moaning and complaining. Mm-hmm. And it will cause people to move forward and get on with their relationship with God.
Amen.
Ephesians 5 and verse 19 says, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, I hear people say, oh, I can't sing. The Bible says, make a joyful noise. It's an excuse. What it's saying is, I'm bone-eyed, I can't really be bothered.
Yeah.
You can be trained to sing. You started to sing, though, when you were born.
Yeah.
And that doctor slapped you, or that, you know,
midwife
slapped you on the back.
That was joyful noise to the Lord.
Perfect praise, it says, Scripture. Perfect praise. First thing you do when you came into the world was use your voice.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
You probably don't remember that. Just a little bit before your memory was ready. But the first thing a child tends to do is praise God.
We had a little one here who was shouting and screaming.
Oh, we had one. Yeah. My helper's not here today.
No.
Psalm 34 tells us to sing spiritual songs,
yeah.
As well as making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Oh, you see, praise begins to move us into worship. So first of all, we need to become people that will praise. And when we praise, we need then to move on to the next stage. Don't stop where you are.
Amen.
Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Is that not right?
Let it out, Bill.
Most folk blaspheme.
Yeah.
When they use the name of Jesus. They're not praising him.
No.
The word of God, David says here, it's entitled in my Bible, the Lord, a provider and deliverer. He's a provider. He's a deliverer. Can only do the providing and the delivering when you're in relationship with him.
Yeah.
He needs your address to deliver too.
Yes.
Is that not right?
Yes.
Needs your address to deliver too.
True.
And let me tell you this, he never gets the order wrong. A few days ago I put an order in with Asda on the internet. First time. 75% of the order was wrong.
Yeah.
I said to him, do you think I'll use you again? God never gets it wrong.
No.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name.
Together.
Are you sure it says together?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it feels like I'm all on my own.
Yeah. Exalt his name together.
The Bible says exalt his name together.
Oh. Exalt his name together.
Why is it people stay away from church? They give all sorts of excuses. All sorts of reasons. And the absolute truth is, they've fallen out of love with Jesus.
Yeah.
They've fallen out of love with Jesus.
Yeah.
Fallen out of love with him. People might say, well, I've fallen out with Andrew. Well, don't fall out with Jesus.
No.
Usually they fall out with me because they said something that the Lord said to them earlier and just confirmed it. So they fell out with me. And falling out with me. You see, if you fall out with me, you fall out with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
You do. Mm-hmm. If I fall out with you, I fall out with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a Christ in each and every one of us.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Let us praise God that we can move into worship.
Yeah.
Let's turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. You know, John was worshipping God.
Yeah.
He went into the presence of the Lord and was worshipping the Lord. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Wow. A door standing open in heaven. John's seeing this. His spiritual eyes are open. Worship is to open your spiritual eyes.
Amen.
Praise not necessarily opens spiritual eyes. Worship certainly opens spiritual eyes.
Amen.
Because every time you read where somebody fell prostrate before God, their spiritual eyes had been opened. Yeah. God had opened their spiritual eyes to see him.
Yeah.
A door standing open, and the first voice which I heard, like the voice, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here.
Amen.
And I will show you what must take place after these things. Mm. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like the jasper stone, and the sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. There was a green hue, a green rainbow, a bow of green around the throne, which speaks of
life.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection
and
the life. You're worshipping the life giver. Not the life taker, the life giver. That's who we worship. He says, verse 4, and around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal.
Amen.
And in the centre and around the throne, 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Are you getting the picture of this?
Yeah.
This is astounding.
Yeah.
And the first creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the 4th living creature, each, and the 4 living creatures, each of them having 6 wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Hallelujah. And when the living creatures gave glory and honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, then the 24 elders will fall down before him. who sits on the throne,
yeah,
and will
worship
him who lives forever and ever. And they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy art thou, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they exist and were created." Hallelujah. You exist because of the will of God.
Amen.
You weren't an accident.
No.
You weren't an afterthought. You weren't a mistake.
No.
You exist because of the will of God.
Amen. What a privilege.
That's why you are here. You exist because of the will of God.
Amen.
And you see the pattern of the kingdom. You see the pattern in the throne room, that these elders, they bow down and they begin to worship,
yeah,
God. They worship Jesus, the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the earth. It was already planned.
Yeah.
It was a done deal.
Amen.
God had already decided that for Bill, before the world was formed, God was planning, and God had arranged that Jesus would die for him.
Amen.
The deal was already struck.
Amen.
Even before you existed.
Yep.
Before you were formed in your mother's womb, the deal was done.
Amen. We were chosen.
This doesn't give us something to begin to think about worshipping. I will encourage you to read that scripture in Revelation again, Revelation 4. Read it and read it. There's that song we sing at times, "Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb." You know, when I sing that, I obviously it's taken from this scripture. When I sing that, I begin to see. I begin to let my mind see. I begin to look beyond the things of this world and look to the things of the next days,
yeah,
in the kingdom of God. I look towards the glory of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And there's a quickening within my heart, within my spirit.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a calling within that says, I've had enough of this. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
To be in his presence.
Yeah.
To bow before him and worship him. To know him. Whom to know is life eternal. Glory to God. You read chapter 5 of Revelation. And it depicts the scene of the kingdom of the throne room of God. Chapter 5 and verse 6, "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing,
yeah,
as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of the churches sent out from God. And he came and took out the right hand of him who sat on the throne." This is the book of life. With your name in it.
Amen.
Verse 12, it goes on and says, verse 11, "And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing, and every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and and in the sea, and all things that I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.' And the four living creatures kept saying, 'Amen, amen, 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 amen.' And so be it, 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 and so." That's what it means. And so be it. And again, it finishes with, "And the elders fell down and worshipped. The pattern of heaven.
Yeah.
The pattern of heaven.
Yeah.
Is worship.
Yeah.
Do we see it in the churches?
No.
Well, if we don't, why is it we're supposed to have heaven on earth? We are supposed to be reflecting what is happening in heaven. We are supposed to be the mirror of that on the earth.
Yeah, we are.
Isn't that not true?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know something? The only person that can do this is you.
Yeah.
People would argue and say, well, I don't really know how to worship. I'll give you a simple example of something I saw last Sunday. You know, I'm a fan of Formula One motor racing. These days it's got quite boring, the same person winning all the time. Sebastian Vettel, driving for the Red Bull team. He won the drivers' championship. Stopped the car. He got out the car. And do you know what he did?
I saw that.
He got on his knees.
Yeah.
And he bowed down and he worshipped the car.
Yeah.
Wow. No. Listen, let me tell you this. Nobody can turn around and say they don't know how to worship. What they're really saying is, I'm too proud to worship. It's not me. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this, if you don't start worshipping, I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah. Find a way.
When you get to the kingdom, I don't know what you're going to do. It's when you see the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Can honestly say they don't know how to worship.
Whatever you love, you worship.
If you love it, you'll worship it. I hope I make you uncomfortable in one sense. Because I want to challenge you to move from the position you're in.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I believe you started this subject on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Having said that, God had already started on me.
You
but you pushed the button.
Yeah.
So we have to change our position.
Yeah.
Every one of us has to change our position.
Yeah, yeah. We do.
And it will be a challenge.
Yeah.
Because when you begin to change your position, something is going to try and stop you from changing your position.
Yeah.
Parents, grandparents will become distracted by children. Their grandchildren. No, I'm sorry. Focus on God. You've left something in the oven, you forgot to turn it off. Oh dear, what am I going to do? You're distracted. You've got a problem, you start planning about it for tomorrow. What are you going to do? You're distracted.
Yeah.
You're now worshipping something else. Something else has got you bowed down because it's a problem. So it has you bowed down.
Huh.
Hello?
Yeah.
What am I going to do about so-and-so tomorrow? It's causing you concern. What about the project that I've not finished? What am I going to do? You're now bowing down to
it.
I've been to university. I've been there. I'll tell you what I did. I always put Jesus first. When it came to Friday night, I came home from university. Friday night was youth night in my church. Saturday night was praise and worship. Sunday, three services. And university didn't get into the middle of that until 6 weeks before final exams. I kept it out. Oh, my father said to me, you'll never pass your exams.
What a positive man.
My earthly father, should I say. My heavenly father said, focus on me.
Amen.
Put me first.
Yeah.
And so I put him first. Oh, I worked hard through the week. But when he got to Friday and I got home to my own church, that was it. University, forgotten. Jesus was in the centre of it all then.
Amen.
That was my main focus. It's that's what got me through university.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I hated it.
Mm.
I didn't enjoy university. Oh, I mean, all the lads went out drinking and everything. What were I doing? I got my head in the books. Because I knew that I wanted to be home on Friday night. And I wanted to be in the presence of God. I wanted to be with God's people.
Amen.
That's where my passion was. My passion wasn't in the studies.
No.
I had to do them.
Yeah.
But my passion was for Jesus.
Yeah.
Because I knew my future was all in Jesus.
Mm.
All my future.
Yeah.
Is in Christ.
Yeah.
I did my university course. I got a good job. God arranged everything, and I did that for over 10 years. And then after that, all my university studies never been used since. Basically, to very little. I left and started working in the kingdom of God. So my university studies for 3 to 4 years. Lasted me for a period of 10 years. But my study of Jesus, my relationship, my love with Christ, my worship of Him, has lasted 50 years. And will last and last, I trust. But the ultimate thing is to worship Him. You see on TV, they worship football players. In man, in human, in the human being, there is a space for worship. And people keep getting in the way. Things get in the way. Because that point of worship should be the point where God is placed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we should worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
I found this, printed this off on the internet, from off the internet. I know Grace will steal this for her Wednesday night study on the tabernacle. I have a bigger one. I thought this is very good, actually, because it actually shows you the points of the compass. On which part does the sun rise?
East.
It rises in the east, doesn't it? The entrance is on the east, into the court, into the outer court. The temple of God. Solomon's temple was built, and the entrance was in the east.
A new day.
The entrance for the Son of God to come in.
Yep.
The outer court is time when we bring our sacrifices and our offerings and our praise and thanksgiving. That's where they brought the animals and had them killed as their offerings. Thank God today there's no one of that. Jesus paid that final price. The place where the offerings were burnt on, the laver where the cleansing and the washing, baptism.
Mm.
The next portion is the inner court. There's a curtain to brush through, there's a doorway to go through. As we move through from praise into worship,
mm-hmm.
it begins to take us into the inner court.
Yeah.
In there is the 7 golden candlesticks,
yeah. mm-hmm.
7 lights. Each of the tribes of Israel every month had to maintain the light for 1 month. They had to bring the oil.
Mm-hmm.
to keep the light, there must always be a light burning in the inner court. Mm-hmm. There's no artificial light there apart from this light. Mm-hmm. There's the table of showbread. Mm-hmm. It's like the Lord's table. Mm-hmm. The light, the glory of God, is representative of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And as we begin to move through that, and we, if we move ourselves into worship, if we will move into true worship, we shall press through the veil. Through the curtain that will allow us to enter into the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, there's the Ark of the Covenant. There's no light. There's the mercy seat. There's no false light in that place whatsoever. It is purely and simply the glory of God.
Yeah.
And worship will bring us to that place where we shall see and experience the glory of God.
Yeah.
God wants you and I to move into that area of worship.
Yeah.
So that when we move into that area of worship, there is a presence of God that comes in that you've never known before. There is an actual tangibility of the very presence,
yeah,
and the glory of God.
Yeah.
I told you the story on Wednesday. I have felt a tangible presence of God. I have seen the glory of God moving on people's lives, and they are falling down and worshipping Him.
Yeah.
Nobody laid hands on people and pushed them down. That's what used to happen. No, if they won't go down, we'll push them down. Lean them back far enough, they're going to fall. I want God to push you down. I want the presence of God to push each and every one of you down, that you will worship Him in spirit and in truth, and you will know and feel and sense such a power and a presence of God that you have never known before, and you will say, don't take me away from here. I need to drink, I need to stay, I need,
yeah,
to live here.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Your destiny is the Holy of Holies.
It is.
Not the outer court.
No.
It's comfortable in the outer court. Pop in and out any time you want. Bring a little sacrifice and go back out. Everything's fine. I've done my little bit. That's all you want. That's all you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hungry. I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
For the things of God.
Amen.
I'm hungry, I'm thirsty for the things of God. Tired of this world's ideas. Tired of just doing good deeds. I want the glory.
Amen.
Good deeds do not save people. They may bring an introduction. The fastest thing that will bring anybody to a place of salvation and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory, the very presence of God. Acts of the Apostles, they knew many times of the glory of God. They just did not dare go to church and lie. They'd seen people go to church and lie and drop dead on the spot. Today people come to church and lie all the time. Sing lies, speak lies, pray lies, live lies. And we wonder why the glory of God is not seen amongst us. Turn to John chapter 4, just so you know where we're quoting from. Well, let's have a look at 23. This is where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. And Jesus asks her to give him something to drink.
Yep.
And she says, you're a Jew.
You're asking me. Yeah.
You know, I'm on the other side. You know, we don't like each other. And you're asking me to give you a drink. You think I'm unclean. And Jesus said to her, if you knew who I was, you would ask me to give you a drink. And she, looking through her natural eyes, looked at him and said, you haven't got anything to hold any water in. You haven't got anything to put in the well. So how can you offer me a drink? And he explains to her, he who drinks of this water that I have will never thirst again.
Oh, man.
This water is a living water. This water gives life.
Amen.
And not just life to the physical body, but it giveth life to the spirit.
Oh, man.
Because that's the water that Jesus wants you and I to drink of. And you know the story, go and call your husband, etc. And she speaks and she says in verse 22, you worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Verse 23, but an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is looking. God is actively looking, seeking for true worshippers. But it has to be in the spirit, because God is not an idol. He's not made of stone, wood or brass or gold. He's not made of man-made things. Verse 24, Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit.
Amen.
And in truth. You have to do it. I can't do it for you. I can join in with you. We can encourage one another. We can give you some abilities to move in that direction, some pointers. But in the end, it's about you and him worshipping him. As we worship him, our Heavenly Father, the Spirit of God, that Spirit that in the beginning of Genesis hovered over the earth, hovered over that which was without form and shape and void. It was voidless. It was just an empty space. God spoke, and so it was. That same Spirit is that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
That same Spirit is that Spirit that came down at the Pentecost and sat on them, 120 of them, in flames of fire.
Mm-hmm.
That same Spirit has set you free from sin. And has brought you into relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
That same Spirit wants to take you deeper into a relationship with your Lord and Saviour and to meet your God.
Wow.
That same Spirit will cause you to be a worshipper of him. You can't reason it.
No.
It is not out of your intellect. You see, when you fall in love with somebody, words fail to express.
Yeah.
What do you mean you've fallen in love with her? Well, I'm besotted. I just can't stop thinking about her. I can't get her off my mind. You know, I'm at university and all I can do is think about her. I'm supposed to be doing my studies and all I'm doing is thinking about her. Why are you like that? I don't know. Something has got a hold of me. And all I'm thinking is about when I've gone to university, when am I going home? When can I call her on the phone? When will the letter arrive? Every week a letter arrived.
I've still got.
Ask me to explain it. How long you got? And when I've finished, I don't know if you'll really understand anyway. We used to sing a chorus. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over. Over and over again. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over. And over and over again. How can you keep falling in love with somebody? You can't you? Bible and that song, he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's worship. That's worship. And you don't care what anybody thinks.
No.
Because it's you and him.
Yeah.
You and her.
Yeah.
You and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We come together. But when we come together, we begin to worship. There's nobody else but you and Jesus. You and Jesus. And embrace him. You and Jesus are in the moment. You and Jesus.
Yeah.
Nobody else. Mm. There can be a room full of people. I've been in that situation where there's been a room full of people. But you know something? There was only me and Jesus.
Yeah.
That we're in conversation. There was only me and Jesus that were embracing. There was only Jesus and I together.
Yeah.
And yet there were 4,000 people there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True worship says, I don't care who's at the side of me.
Yeah.
True worship says, I am here to worship my Lord and my Saviour, and nothing it's going to stop me.
Mm.
You know, when the people come together and begin to worship together, wow, so easy to move and embrace him.
Yeah,
so easy for him to move and embrace you. Turn to First Book of Chronicles 28, chapter 28. Glory to Jesus. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 2. This is King David. This is one of the desires of his heart.
Yeah.
See, David was a worshipper of God.
Mm.
See, his worship took him to levels and to places where nobody else had been before.
That's right.
His worship, his relationship, his love for God took David into the new covenant. He didn't wait for the actual physical happening of the crucifixion of Jesus. I think he took upon himself when it said from the very foundations of the earth God had prepared this sacrifice, God had paid the price, and David says, that's mine and I need it now. Because I don't want to live under the law, I want to live under the grace and the mercy of God. And so David declares, then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people, ask for me. I had in my heart to build an house of the rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God.
Mm-hmm.
Word of God tells us, come and worship at his footstool. How high is a footstool? Quite low, isn't it? Do you get the picture?
Yeah.
Where's the footstool?
Down there.
You've got to get on our knees. Got to get on our knees and our hands and our knees and worship him. Some people say, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, guess what? You're going to miss something. I'm not, you know, what will people say if they see me on my knees? I don't know. I'm not really interested in what people say. So that's just your pride getting in the way. But what will they think about me? I don't really care what people think about me. I need to know what God thinks about me. You see, what somebody thinks about me today will be different next week if I said something that upset them. Their house should be totally different. This week I can be the most wonderful person in their life. I've done something nice for them. I've done a job on their car or something, and I'm the most wonderful person in their life. They think I'm fantastic, I'm fabulous. There's nobody like him. Next week, we have a small confrontation. I'm a pig, a dog, whatever else you can verbalise. And I wouldn't speak to him. I'd never speak to him again. I would never have him in my house. I'd never anywhere near. And so they go on. And suddenly, it has all changed. Yeah, you're just as good as the last thing you did with people. You know, when you get with God and you worship him, God is looking for a people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship at his footstool. Worship at his footstool. And as we begin to worship him, we shall see the presence of God beginning to move into our lives. You see, in that worship, God will open your spiritual eyes. And don't think just because the first time you got on your knees that just because nothing happened, well, it's not real, it's not ever going to happen, therefore I'm not going to do it again. That's probably because the first time you did it just to see if it worked. And if it didn't work, well, I'm quitting on it. See, God knows how we think. We have to begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. The very truth of God be in each and every one of us. There is that curtain. That curtain. The veil. Into the Holy of Holies. Although it was torn, it wasn't open.
No.
You had to push through.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
Your passion will push you.
That which you desire.
Yeah.
What do you desire?
God.
I'll tell you this. Everything that you can ever want, everything that you can ever be, everything that you will ever will be of any worth and of any good,
yeah,
is all in God.
Definitely.
My future is in God.
Yeah.
My purposes are in God.
Amen.
My life is in God. The very breath that I breathe is given to me by God. The very heartbeat that I have is given to me by God, is maintained by God.
Yeah.
Doctors have no explanation why we die at times. Yeah. You know, I mean, okay, let's forget heart attacks and that, but, you know, people just die. Why? So they have to look for something. In reality, this body renews itself. It was designed to function. But sin came in. and brought destruction.
Yeah.
Brought decay.
Yeah.
See, before sin came in, there was no decay.
No.
There was no distortion.
No.
When sin came in, it broke things up. First thing it did, it broke the relationship of worship that Adam and Eve had with their Creator God. And ever since then, there's been a problem of worship.
Yeah.
You see, Satan was the worship leader. He wanted the worship for himself.
Yeah.
No matter what happens now, every time you want to worship, Satan will seek to distract you.
He will. Yeah.
You're tired. It's too late. You're tired.
Mm.
Your phone rings. Well, you know what my opinion of that is. Turn them off. It works every time. They'll leave a message. They'll send a text message. You can get back to them later. The world is not going to go into a nuclear meltdown just because you did not answer a phone.
That's right.
And if it does, well, praise God, we'll be somewhere better, won't we? Yeah. Hallelujah.
Where there's no phone.
Where there is no phone.
Well,
hallelujah. No newspapers. Glory to Jesus. No bad news.
No.
I think I probably told you the story years ago. Somebody, I don't know when it was, 19.
Hello.
Careful, dude. 1970s, America and Russia were on sort of a high level, ready to press the buttons and launch the nuclear missiles. And Grace and I were on holiday, and we didn't buy newspapers even when we were home, and we didn't buy newspaper when we were on holiday, and we came home, and a few weeks later we met somebody and they said, oh, weren't it terrible, weren't it awful, you know, weren't you worried? It's like, what are you talking about?
What
were happening? Well, you know, the Americans and the Russians were about to press the button and launch a nuclear war upon everybody. Really? That's what I said, really? And this person went ballistic with me. You mean to tell me that you didn't know and you weren't worried about it? I said, no. Well, it was all over the news. It was in every newspaper. We were worried. I said, I didn't know anything about it. I weren't worried. It didn't happen. And if it did, well, I'd be in the presence of the Lord. But you see, the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it, and it belongs to Him. So, you know, God's in charge.
Oh, man.
This is on loan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stewards.
We're supposed to be stewards. That's right, John. But we should be worshipping stewards.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
sure. Worship Him.
Yeah.
Worship Him. Press through into worship. I'm going to hold it there for now. We'll continue it. A later date. But we need to begin to read Revelation 4 and 5. Think about the glory of God. Think of what God wants to do. Think about your relationship with Him. Are there some things that need to change? Only you can answer that question directly. And if there are, you need to plan to make those changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is looking for worshippers.
Yeah.
Start falling in love with Him.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Some degree, the passion for worship, the desire of worship, it just comes out of that relationship with the Lord. And some, in some cases, it's so difficult to try and explain it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in love with somebody I've never seen.
Yeah.
I'm in love with somebody, and I say, you know, when I'm saying somebody, I'm meaning God.
Yeah.
That is invisible to the natural eye.
Yeah.
Well, you're stupid then.
No.
How can you love somebody that you can't see? Well, 5 days a week, I couldn't see Grace, but I was in love with her. How can you be in love with somebody that you can't prove exists? Well, it goes a little bit like this. There's a chorus. When I feel the touch of your hand upon my life, it causes me to sing a song that I love you, Lord.
Amen.
I have felt the hand of God on me.
Yeah, and me too.
I've known and felt the presence of God on me.
Yeah, I have as well.
So, for somebody to say to me, God does not exist, you might as well carry on and blow smoke.
Yeah.
You can blow as much smoke as you want, but it will not change my perception. It will not change my passion. It will not change my love for him. Because it's not about what I see. It's about who I know.
Yeah.
It's about what he's done for me. And what he's doing for me in the future. And I've not yet arrived there. I do not fear for my future.
No. Really.
I never have done. And I'm not a person that is a... Well, as a child I wasn't brought up as a bold and... Yeah, you know, I was quite shy. When Jesus comes in... Used to be a hymn that we used to sing, I know who holds my future.
Yeah.
Do you know who holds your future? Are you worshipping him for who he is, for what his plans are for you, to do you good? All these things are worthy of worship and adoration and of praise. You and I were saved for one purpose and one purpose alone. That we might worship him, our Heavenly Father. That we, the sons of God, would worship him. Whom to know is life eternal.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.